Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Everyone, and welcome back. Your special surprise Purim program is here. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And the annual Gala Purim special program we put together just for you is on the air. The parsha this week is Tetzaveh, and since this is also the Shabbos before Purim, we're going to read the portion of Zachor, which means remember. It's the story of how the Jews were immediately attacked when they left Egypt by the Amalekites who knew God, but were so arrogant they dared attack the very people that God himself was taking out. Not a very smart thing to do. The story of Purim features the evil Haman, who was an Amalekite and who tried unsuccessfully to destroy the Jews. And there's some evidence that Hitler was also an Amalekite. The Amalekites of every generation try to destroy the Jewish people, but God always comes through in the end, destroying those who come to destroy us. Gee, you'd think these folks would have gotten the message already. And I guess we'll have to wait for the final redemption now so that all nations will know God and man will not lift up sword against man, and true peace will permeate the land forevermore. And speaking of permeating, our staff today will permeate you with the best in educational Jewish radio. With Musical Moish on his keyboard, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Wordelin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Your special Purim gift today will be the story of Esther, the Megillah, told by the original cast of the Agent Emes Adventure Series. Master playwright Leib Cohen has written a very funny script that is also educational in the spirit of the widely loved and very successful Agent Emes video series, which, by the way, are available online at agent-emes.com. If you or your family have seen the series, you're going to recognize some of the familiar shtick. If you haven't seen the series, you're going to be in for a very entertaining introduction to the action-adventure series, and you should definitely own one for you and your family. Of course, we'll also have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget to take time now to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can support your favorite segment each week. You can send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net, or you can call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. And if you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisroel Zerlo, and the community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. Popular Feminine Perspective is now sponsored by Lens Landscaping. Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so call right now and reserve your spot. Rabbi Goldwasser's Popular Stories segment is sponsored by Roladin. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Our entire staff does work very hard, especially this week, bringing you the Megillah. And we want to keep continuing to give you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. So, don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. Just call us at 412-979-5770 or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:54 p.m. So, Moishala, I see those keys warming up.
I'm warming up those keys, Hirsch.
All right, let's let them roll.
I don't know about you, but I'm good to go on the J.E. All right. Shemmy, 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 Ada, mare, mare, the simple. Bishen it not. Ada, mare, the simple. Mishem, shem, 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 na ata marvin marvin besimcha. Vishnikna sada marvi marvi besimcha. Vishnikna sada marvi marvi besimcha. Don't forget Hakpurim, Hakpurim, Hakadol Hayotim, Masechot Rashanim, Zmir Rekudim. Havanarisha Rashrash, Havanarisha Rashrash, Havanarisha Rashrash, Barashanim. Hakpurim, Hakpurim, Hagadol Hayotim, Masechot Rashanim, Zmir Rekudim. Havana Risha Rash Rash Rash, Havana Risha Rash Rash Rash, Havana Risha Rash Rash Rash, Barashanim, Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko, Lai Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko, Lai Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko, Lai Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko, Lai Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko, Lai Rutim Lai Rutim. Hoi Soi Ro, Vissim Cho, Vissa Soi Viko.
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
This week is the second of the special Shabbosim which occur at this time of year. It is Shabbos Parshas Zohar. The Haftorah for Shabbos Parshas Zohar tells us how King Shaul had mercy on Agog, the king of Amalek, and spared his life. King Shaul also did not destroy the prime cattle and sheep of Amalek. Thus, he disobeyed Hashem's explicit command and was therefore punished by having his sovereignty over Israel removed and given to King David. Removed and given to David HaMelech. The connection between Parshas Zohar and Purim is clear. Our rabbis tell us, because Shaul HaMelech had mercy on Agog and did not kill him immediately as commanded by Hashem, he was able to father a child from whom Haman ultimately descended. Thus, Haman's decree to annihilate the Jewish people, Chas V'Shalom, was a result of King Shaul's sin. The Torah tells us that when Shmuel the prophet came to reprimand Shaul, the king argued, "I have fulfilled the word of Hashem. The only reason I let the animals live was to bring them as a sacrifice on the altar to Hashem." But Shmuel replied that obedience to Hashem's command is better than bringing sacrifices on the altar. Shmuel in fact added that Shaul had despised the word of Hashem. The Gemara explains the verse, 1 year old was Shaul when he was crowned as king. That Shaul was as pure from sin as an infant of 1 year. Thus it is obvious that when Shaul permitted Agog to live, as well as the sheep and cattle, he wasn't actually willfully disobeying Hashem's command. On the contrary, he believed that what he did was right. This is why Shaul declared, "I have fulfilled the word of Hashem." King Shaul understood the inner meaning of bringing sacrifices to Hashem. By taking a physical animal and offering it up as a holy sacrifice, we transform the dark physicality of the animal into the light of absolute spirituality. Generally, the animal within the human individual is what draws him to animalistic kinds of desires, which is darkness compared to the light of holiness. A physical animal represents these animalistic qualities. Thus, when we offer an animal as a sacrifice to Hashem, we thereby transform the darkness into light. This is why Shaul felt that when he had an opportunity to take the cattle and sheep of a Molech being the source of all types of evil and the greatest darkness, and offer these animals as sacrifices to Hashem, it would produce the greatest type of light, much more powerful than ordinary light. He acted according to the dictates of his own reasoning. But what was lacking was his total obedience and submission to the will of Hashem, who had commanded him to destroy everything that belonged to a Molech. This is why Shmuel answered him that it is better to listen and obey than to slaughter sacrifices. Offering animal sacrifices and fats signifies serving Hashem with the highest capabilities which a person possesses. Coupled with our total acceptance of Hashem's yoke, Hashem wants us to use our intellect to understand everything that we are able to, so that we utilize all of our capabilities in serving Hashem. If one serves Hashem only by accepting His yoke, but one's service is without understanding or pleasure, then he is only serving with his lower capabilities and talents, his power of deed and action, and he is not giving away all of the fats to Hashem. Nevertheless, the acceptance and submission to Hashem's will is still better than the sacrifices and fats which symbolize understanding and intellect. Also, when one relies on one's own understanding, it is possible that it will be faulty and a mistake can be made. As mentioned before, it is necessary to serve Hashem with all of one's faculties, including intellect. But this must also be rooted in the acceptance of the heavenly yoke. We must try to understand the reason for the mitzvahs, because this also is Hashem's will. But first and foremost must come the total acceptance of the yoke of Hashem's kingdom. This must be the basis for our service. Regarding the service of accepting the yoke of Hashem's kingdom and submitting oneself totally to it, we are told that it is the doorway through which we are able to elevate ourselves in all matters of holiness.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues.
Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience,
412-521-2600. She's so lovely, say no. I am in my aim, but my not there. I love you, see me. I love poor fun. We are like a voice. We are a true voice. Lani Floyd, she's so lovely, say no. I am in my aim, but my not there. I love you, see me. I love poor fun. We are like a voice. We are a true voice. da 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 di la la my di la la da 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 di la la di da ya ya da 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 di la la my di la la ha ha ya ya mi yo ya yo da 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 di la la my di la la my ya ya my ya ya da 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 di la la da da di la la da 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 di la la my yo
Now it's time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The Purim story unfolds over a 14-year span from the year 3393 to 3406. In the first year of King Ahasuerus, the Purim story begins. In the third year of King Ahasuerus, he makes his famous parties. And in the seventh year of his reign, Esther becomes the queen. The next few events in the Megillah take place over a four-day period. In the 12th year of Ahasuerus, Haman drew his lots to kill the Jews and promulgated his decree on the 13th of Nisan. The Jews fasted for 3 days. One opinion states it was the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan, while another opinion says the 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan. Esther goes to Ahasuerus and invites him to her first party on the 15th of Nisan, according to the first opinion. Ahasuerus cannot sleep, and Haman builds the gallows. Those events took place on the night of the 16th of Nisan. Mordechai rides on the horse, Esther's second party, and Haman is hanged, all took place on the day of the 16th of Nisan, and all in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus. In the 13th year, Jews all over the realm, including the capital Shushan, killed their enemies, and that happened on the 13th of Adar. The Jews in Shushan killed their enemies on the 14th of Adar. And on the very same day, the 14th of Adar, the Jews outside Shushan rested and celebrated, and the Jews in Shushan rested and celebrated the 15th of Adar. In the 14th and final year of King Ahasuerus' reign, Mordechai and Esther established Purim as an official holiday. The entire story was a hidden miracle. No sea split, no fire rained from heaven. Such an event becomes the prototype for Jewish survival in the present exile. Indeed, in this form, Purim presents Jewish history as a jigsaw puzzle. No one sees how each piece fits in until the end. In the present exile, then, people only see the surface of things, not the deeper underlying significance, just as in the Megillah. Interestingly, in the late 1800s, the French archaeologist Marcel Dulafoy unearthed the ruins of the Persian palace at Shushan after it had been buried for more than 2,000 years. He declared that only someone who was familiar with its layout must have written the descriptions of the palace in the Book of Esther. Dulafoy's statement gave the lie to the Bible critics who claimed that the Purim story was fabricated. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a very, very happy Shabbos and an even happier Purim.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When new requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Police have increased their level of readiness in preparation for the Purim holiday Saturday night and Sunday in most places, Sunday night and Monday in the Jerusalem area and isolated other spots. There will be more police officers guarding places such as community centers and markets, which are expected to be unusually crowded due to the holiday. Police are also working to prevent the sale of dangerous toys to children, officers taking part in special operations against vendors who are selling such toys. Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni traveling to Europe this coming week to meet with European foreign ministers in the framework of Israel's association agreement with the European Union. During these meetings, she will urge her European counterparts not to deviate from the Quartet of Nations' demand that any PLO government recognize Israel, renounce terror, and honor previous Israeli PLO agreements. She will also present what she called the Israeli Peace Initiative for a two-state solution, Livni calling for revisions in the Saudi Arabian peace proposal ahead of the Riyadh summit at the end of the month. That includes changes in the section on the return of Arabs whose families left Israel when the modern state was founded. Vice Prime Minister Shimon Peres, quoted by Israel government radio, was calling for pressure on Russia to stop supplying weapons to Syria, saying that weapon sales to Syria encourages Syria to go to war. Israeli officials have recently learned that Damascus is close to concluding a large deal with Moscow to procure thousands of advanced anti-tank missiles for the Syrian army. There is no doubt that something out of the ordinary is taking place on the Syrian side of the border, the words one senior defense official using to tell the Jerusalem Post that Syria has been building and moving infrastructure that could be used against Israel into the southern part of the country, a United Nations observer there not noticing anything unusual. In addition to its own use, Syria has been transferring weapons to Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. The Haaretz daily citing Israeli and other Western sources as saying trouble may be brewing in southern Lebanon because of a growing concentration of global jihadists in the area. The sources say the Sunni terrorists may attack Israel or United Nations forces in the area or fight Shiite Hezbollah. Ghaleb Majadli, the Minister for Sport, Science and Culture, says he will quit before he submits to the scrutiny for security clearance as demanded by member of Knesset Aryeh Eldad of the National Union National Religious Party. Eldad says the first Muslim Arab to be named a minister has to receive clearance before he can be exposed to sensitive information from the Ministry of Science, which is in charge of Israel's space program. Party Chairman Uri Ariel has addressed an urgent letter to Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, in which he calls on Olmert to transfer the supervision over Israel's space program to the Prime Minister's office and away from the Science Ministry. A terrorist space program showing its bearing on Israeli security, sending a Qassam rocket from the PLO-assigned Gaza Strip to an open field just to the north Friday morning. No Israeli injuries or damage reported. Israel's Push the Button song entry in the annual Eurovision contest is being panned in Europe as being politically incorrect, and officials may bar the song from the May semifinals in Helsinki. The song picked by popular vote. They did not pick Israel's representative T-Pax, which hails from rocket-ravaged Sderot. The song includes verses that, quoting now, "The world is full of terror. If someone makes an error, he's gonna blow us up to kingdom come." Quoting another verse, "There are some crazy rulers. They hide and try to fool us with demonic technological willingness to harm. They're gonna push the button, push the button." That might refer to Iran's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The United States State Department said that six world powers have made progress in talks on tighter sanctions on Iran's nuclear program. The U.S., four European nations, and China consulting by telephone toward working on a text for a new U.N. resolution. Former Supreme Court President Meir Shamgar among signatories on a public petition opposing a law limiting the Supreme Court's authority to declare laws unconstitutional. Versions of the law have been proposed by Justice Minister Daniel Friedman and some Knesset members. Quoting the petition, "Canceling a true judicial check endangers the liberties that have already been codified into laws. A move like this does not promote the rule of law, but rather compromises it." Purim, the holiday where one is supposed to get drunk to the point where one cannot tell between hero Mordechai and villain Haman from the Book of Esther. But in Jerusalem, there are teenagers who want an alcohol-free environment. Find out what the city has given them on Walter's World with Walter Bingham, on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat Yud Gimel, or the 13th of Adar on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast: clear to partly cloudy and slightly warmer through Sunday, cooler Monday with a chance of light local rain in the north. In Jerusalem, Friday, 13 degrees centigrade, 55 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea and the Dead Sea, 24 degrees centigrade, 75 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Now the approach of Purim, of course, our simcha increases in Adar. And with that, we want to say mazel tov to Rabbi and Mrs. Yisrael Rosenfeld on the engagement of their daughter Esther. Also, Rabbi and Mrs. Fishy Milch on the engagement of their son Mordechai. We always like
like to see more and more Mazel Tovs during, especially this time. Tzwa to Pittsburgh continues a new series on the Jewish Learning Institute, The Kabbalah of Character, providing you with a wealth of practical tools to gain insight and to chart your path to personal growth. Wednesdays through March 14th at two locations, 7:30 p.m. at the Yeshiva Girls School, or 12:15 downtown at the Heinz 57 Center. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating or their weight. You can call Ilan at 412-422-2224 for more information on that very successful program. Also, there'll be numerous Megillah readings throughout Pittsburgh area, Saturday night and Sunday. Don't forget to stop by and listen to the Megillah Saturday night and Sunday at any of these locations. And also to participate in the Purim Suda, and also to give money to the poor, and also to give Shalach Manas to your friends. Remember, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:54 p.m.
Shimi Epstein lives with his family in the city of Shushan, Persia, one of the 127 provinces ruled over by the megalomaniac king Ahasuerus. But Shimi isn't just an ordinary yeshiva bacher. He is really a special agent at work for Tov Me'od International. And when the forces of evil threaten, Shimi dons his black hat, dark coat, sunglasses, and fake mustache to become the awesome Agent MS.
Secret Agent MS, the kid is always looking for truth. When a favor threatened, Agent MS always gets the crew. This boy in disguise fights evil and lies to save the world for all. Torah and mitzvot back him up when MS gets the call. Secret Agent MS, the kid who's always looking for proof. When a favor threatened, Agent MS.
Our story begins with Shimi's father Yaakov stumbling home from a late night of celebration.
Chaya, I'm home.
Yankel, what happened to you? Don't tell me those earthquakes from episode 2 Rabbi Napped are happening again.
Chaya, I'm home.
I heard that already, dear. You needn't repeat yourself.
Chaya, I'm home. Ouch!
Yankel, I'm only going to ask you this once. Where were you tonight?
Where was I?
Yes, where were you?
Where was I? The palace. Where else?
The king's palace?
No, the plumber's. Of course it was the king's palace.
For what reason?
Yeah, some silly idea that since 70 years have passed since the holy temple was destroyed, that means the prophecies about us building a second one won't come true.
Is he right?
Of course not. You know how hard it is to find a good contractor these days.
Did you have to celebrate with him?
Only if I wanted to live.
Oh.
Besides, the food was free.
What's that?
What?
That thing you're hiding under your coat.
Oh. This little thing? I must have accidentally taken it from the palace.
It's a goblet from the temple, Yanko. That can only mean one thing.
The king has excellent taste in china?
No. He was using our holy vessels to serve his tray for food.
You know, I thought it looked familiar.
Uh-oh, Hashem is going to be really mad now.
Bela, what are you doing up?
How am I supposed to sleep with all the noise down here?
You know the punishment for listening in on other people's conversations.
Okay, fine. But if you punish me, you have to punish Shimi too.
What did he do?
Come on out, Shimi.
Tattletale.
What else happened at the party, Ta?
You know, just the usual palace intrigue. The king asked Queen Vashti to dance for the guests, and she refused.
Good for her. Why should she let that old blowhard push her around?
Well, one good reason is the king put Vashti to death.
Oh, what a creep.
King without a queen. I wonder what he'll do next.
As if reading young Shimi's mind, King Ahasuerus quickly realized the folly of his actions and devised a way to find a new queen.
Bela, you have visitors!
Who are you guys?
We are the messengers of King Ahasuerus. You are asked to appear as a contestant in his beauty contest.
What happens if I win?
The king will make you his new wife.
Is this a joke?
The king does not make jokes.
Not even something funny he hears on the golf course?
His majesty has no sense of humor.
He doesn't sound like much fun then, does he? I think I'll pass.
You are to be ready in 5 minutes.
I'll go pack your things.
But, Mommy, I can't appear before the king. I have nothing to wear. Psst. What do you want?
This is serious, kiddo. Hashem is putting you in this contest for a reason. You'll have to be prepared.
How?
First of all, don't tell him that you're Jewish.
With this punim? The king isn't blind, you know.
And you have to take a different name. We don't want them to connect you to Mommy and Tati.
Okay. How about Esther?
Works for me. Esther means hidden, and that's what you'll have to be.
Here's your bag, Bela. Remember to wear a sweater.
Now come. The king awaits you.
And wouldn't you know it, young Bela, now called Esther, captured the king's heart, and the day soon arrived when she was summoned to appear before him.
You're kidding, right? Oh, I forgot. You don't make jokes.
What's a joke?
Listen up, Achie. I hate to bring this up, but have you checked my birth certificate? I'm not even 12 yet. We have nothing in common.
Not true. We both like jewelry. And besides, you make the best knedlach I ever tasted.
In the meantime, Shimmy spent his school lunch hour hanging out at the palace gate to find out all he could about his sister's new living arrangement.
Who's that? Shimmy? What are you doing?
Shh! My name is Mordechai now.
Well, just stop throwing rocks at my house, would you? I just had these windows replaced.
So, things are good at the palace?
I'll say. The king spends all day counting his gold. And I get to play the Taos Nintendo all day. Uh-oh.
What?
Haman is coming.
Who, man?
Haman. He's Hebi's chief advisor. He's really disgusting. Oops, gotta go. The roast is burning.
All bow before the noble Haman.
Impossible. Haman is really Dr. Lotov.
Hey, kid. If you want to hold on to your head, I'd advise you to prostrate yourself and pronto.
Never.
Who is this brazen bocher who refuses to bow before me?
The name isn't brazen. It's Mordechai.
How dare you defy the king's decree?
That depends on which one.
That all must bow before me.
A Jew bows before no one but God.
We'll see about that, Mordechai.
Mordechai.
That's what I said, Mordechai.
No, Chai, not Kai.
Kai? Kai, any closer?
Work on it.
Driver, to the palace. Kai? Kai. Kai.
As Shimmy headed back to Yeshiva, he overheard hushed conversation.
Oh, hi. Oh, hi.
Two palace guards, whispering in a foreign language. Where did I put my... Oh, there it is.
Shimmy removed his special Agent MS spy pen and twisted it twice to the right.
This contraption had better work.
Next week we'll appoint a head waiter in the World Ballroom.
Then it would be a simple matter to slip the king some poison falafel. And when he has been moved for good, we'll move in and take over.
Shimmy took this alarming knowledge to the PIA, and the two rebellious guards were put to death. King Ahasuerus recorded Shimmy's good deed in his palm pilot and returned to counting his fortune. Not long after, Dr. Lotov Haman appeared before the king to make a request.
What is it now, Haman?
Our country is infected, my dear king. Infected with the worst kind of vermin.
Not to worry. I've already put in a call to Shmuel Krieger.
I refer to the human kind of insect, an insect that separates itself from the rest of humanity, following its own laws and customs, and yet can be found in every nook and cranny of the empire.
Which people is this? And what can be done about them?
It is the Jewish people. And I suggest we exterminate them immediately.
Sounds like a plan. We'll cast lots and put it on the calendar.
A few days later, Shimmy and his parents were walking in downtown Shushan.
What's going on here?
Everyone is crying, but why?
Look!
It's a royal decree. They're planning to kill all the Jews next year on the 14th of Adar.
See what you get now for going to the king's stupid party?
Now, Chaya, we can't know for sure if that's the reason.
Why else would God allow this to happen?
I'm not sure. What do you think, Shimmy? Shimmy?
Look, it's Agent Emmis's hat.
What's it doing here?
It's looking for something.
Maybe a hat brush.
It's Agent Emmis.
Chavirim, get a hold of yourself. This isn't as bad as it looks.
Why? Is there something worse than complete annihilation?
You've got a point there. But listen to me, and maybe you can avert the decree.
The next day, as Bela read her morning paper...
What's this? All the Jews are wearing sackcloth and ashes. But why? There must be a cell of Sims. What the? Whose hat is this?
It's mine. Can I have it back, please? Ooh, don't bend the brim.
Agent Emmis, how did you get up here?
I'm a superhero, aren't I? Breaking and entering is one of those things we do.
I hope you have a supersized bank account. Do you know what these windows cost?
Listen to me, Bela.
How do you know my real name?
Did I say Bela? I meant Esther.
Do we know each other?
Yes, we met in episode 3, The Case of the Missing Pushka. But we can play 20 questions later. I'm here to deliver a message.
What's this?
A royal decree. Do you need help reading it?
Of course not. I went to Yeshiva, not Shushan Dice. This can't be.
Terrible, isn't it?
They can't hold a massacre on the next Adar 14th. I was planning a big party.
Who asked you to do that?
My icky husband. Who else?
He's already planning the celebration you'll have when he kills all the Jews.
I have to warn my brother, Shimi Mordechai.
Shimi Mordechai already knows. Who do you think sent me?
You don't have to be snotty about it. What else did he say?
He has a complete plan of what you should do.
Ugh, he's so bossy.
Yeah, and he was also wondering if he could borrow one of your Nintendo cartridges.
Typical. Which one?
I'm not sure. What do you have?
All the Jews of Shushan, including Queen Bela Esther herself, fasted for the next 3 days. And then she went out to meet her brother, Shimi Mordechai, in secret.
Here's what you do. You must approach the king and ask him and Haman to come to a banquet you'll make for him tonight.
Then what?
Then you ask them to come to another banquet, and you'll make it tomorrow night.
Huh?
What's wrong?
Wouldn't it be easier to ask them to save the Jews at the first banquet?
Just think, years from now, Jewish people all over the world will probably be reading this story after a long fast day. I think it makes a pretty good practical joke if we drag the Megillah reading out as much as possible.
Cool. Just one thing. I've been fasting for 3 days, and I look like some kid out of a Charles Dickens novel. The king hates certain grime.
If God wants you to succeed in your mission, you will, regardless of your personal hygiene.
But what if he decides to hang me? You want everyone to see me swing from the gallows without even a shower?
Just go, Bela.
Just as Shimmy had predicted, Ahasuerus looked past Bela's personal cleanliness and granted her request to appear the next night at a party in honor of both him and Haman. Of course, when Haman heard this news, he was very happy.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. So I will fill the world with fear again. Happy days are here again.
Ah, oh, there's that bombastic bocher, Mordechai, again. Why doesn't he bow to me? I don't feel like singing anymore. Why does he have to ruin everything?
When Dr. Lotov returned to his castle that night, he shared his frustration with his assistant, Clarence.
Gee, boss, if this kid Mordechai bothers you so much, why not just ask King Aki to hang him?
Clarence,
every once in a while, which means not too often, you come up with a good idea.
Thanks, boss.
I'll ask Ahasuerus about it first thing in the morning. Now, go build me a gallows 50 cubits high.
Sure, boss. I'll get on it right away. Boss?
What is it now, Clarence?
That's a cubit.
King Ahasuerus couldn't sleep, and there was nothing good on TV, so he took out his Palm Pilot and began looking through his archives.
I'm probably the only king who gets a kick out of reading old to-do lists. I'll have to ask my analyst about that. What's this?
His Majesty, Rang.
Did we ever send a thank you note to that Jew who saved my life?
Not that I remember, my lord.
Okay. Now maybe I can get some shut-eye. I'll figure out how to reward him in the morning. Who in the world?
Does your majesty have a minute?
Come in, Haman. Just the man I wanted to see.
I know exactly what you mean.
If you were the king, and there was somebody you wanted to honor, you know, say thank you to, what would you do?
Naturally, the conceited Dr. Loto thought that the king must be referring to him.
How much are you willing to spend?
Sky's the limit. I'm the king, after all.
Then I suggest you make the biggest parade this city has ever seen. Lead the great man through the center of town wearing your crown and riding the nicest horse in your fleet, and announce over and over that this is what happens to a man whom the king wishes to honor.
I knew you'd come through, Haman. Go see that we do this for Mordecai the Jew.
Did I say parade?
Yes, and I tell you what, why don't you lead the horse while you're at it?
Dr. Lotov was not having a good day, and it only got worse that night at Bela's banquet.
Dear Queen, if you tell me now what it is you want, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. But if you invite me to another banquet, you'll only get a quarter. So, just tell me now, would you?
You know that party you're throwing next year after you kill all the Jews? I forgot to mention that. I'm a Jew, too. So, if you do that, I guess you'll be looking for a new queen again.
Impossible. My love for you is too strong. And what's wrong with the Jews, anyway? That Mordecai is Jewish, and I threw a big parade for him today. Who in the world could have talked me into such a crazy idea?
I'll give you a hint. He's here with us in this room, and it wasn't me.
Haman?
Yes, Your Highness?
If you were the king, what would you do if I wanted to punish a despicable man? Great idea. I'll hang you. If we only had a gallows.
Hey, boss.
What are you doing here, Clarence?
Sorry. Is it a bad time? I just wanted to let you know I finished building the gallows you wanted.
Just like that, the tables were turned on the wicked Lotov Haman. Agent Emmis was made second to the king, and the Jewish people were saved from complete annihilation. For the Jews of Persia, there was happiness, joy, and merriment. When everything in the kingdom returned to normal, Bela Esther approached her husband with another request.
Achi, I'm getting so bored of this palace. Why can't I have a second mansion like all the other queens?
Of course, my dear. Up to half the kingdom and it's yours.
Every time you say that, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know what I would do with half the kingdom. But there is something I do want.
Tell me then.
I thought maybe we can rebuild the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. It would make such a great place to visit for the holidays.
Consider it done, my dear. Consider it done.
The Feminine Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, I'll treat your land like it was my own. Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Deborah DeLynn.
Zachar Ace Asher Asa Lecha Amalek Baderech Betzescha Mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on your way out of Egypt. This Shabbos is Shabbos Zachar, the week we read about the war between the nation of Amalek and the Jews in the desert, and the command that we must totally annihilate them. There is no other nation on the face of this earth that we are commanded to destroy. What's so bad about Amalek that we must totally wipe them out? In order to comprehend this, we must first understand where the nation of Amalek came from. Esav, the brother of Yaakov Avinu, left his father's house and traveled to Har Seir, a city that was governed by a man named Seir. Esav had relations with Seir's wife, and they had a daughter named Timnah. Timnah heard of the greatness of her uncle Yaakov and wanted to marry him. Yaakov, of course, refused. He couldn't marry a mamzeres, a child from such a relationship. Seeking another way to attach herself to Yaakov's family, she offered herself as a concubine to her father Esav. From this union came Amalek, a mamzer ben mamzeres. Okay, we can see why such a person would be despised, but how can an entire nation deserve to be wiped out just because of the birth of their ancestor? The answer lies in the actions of the nation as a whole. When the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, Amalek, who lived seven kingdoms away, came and attacked them. The verse uses the word kara, that they happened on the way. The nation wanted to show their utter disregard for Hashem. They forced themselves to believe that the world just happened, even after hearing of the miracles of the Exodus, and they showed the world their disrespect of Hashem by attacking the Jewish stragglers, the children, the elderly, and the women. Haman, the villain of the Purim story, came from such a nation. While it is true that Ahasuerus, the king of Persia, had no love for the Jews, Haman chose to push the king and paid him 10,000 measurements of silver to allow him to do this. The decree was sent out that there was to be a relentless attack against the Jews on the 14th of Adar. Esther, who had become queen, fasted for 3 days, commemorating the 3 days of complete faith that Avram Avinu took to walk to the binding of his son Yitzchak, in hope that Hashem would have mercy on them for Avraham's sake. There was a certain Jewish man who went to an Amaleki family and begged him to buy him and his family in order to save them from being massacred. The Amaleki man refused, for he was ordered not to buy Jews, just to kill them. Here the words in the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, were fulfilled, "And you shall sell yourself to your enemies as servants and maids, and they will not buy." Haman and the nation of Amalek didn't stand to get any personal profit. In fact, Haman paid heavily for this privilege. Their blind hatred of us and blatant disrespect for Hashem is one of the reasons we are commanded to wipe them out. In the end of the story, we see the concept of Vinahapahu, that things were turned around. Haman, the sworn enemy himself, acknowledged that the Jews are Hashem's chosen nation. Instead of the Jews being killed, the Amalekim were killed for their plot. Fasting turned into feasting, sadness into joy. May we merit to have the sadness of exile be turned into the ultimate joy and feasting of the era of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Have a good Shabbos and a Freilich and Purim.
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Rolodin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Ribnitzer Rebbe was renowned for his enormous self-sacrifice to perform all mitzvahs in general, and the mitzvah of circumcision in specific. When the Rebbe was still living in communist Russia, he was contacted by a woman who asked him to perform a bris on her newborn son. When questioned about the baby's father, she replied that he was a Communist Party official and would never agree to a bris being performed on his child. She was therefore contacting the Rebbe to inform him that her husband was away and that the only chance to do the mitzvah was if it was done immediately. Ignoring his wife's protest that he was placing his life in danger, the Rebbe set out with one of his Hasidim who was to serve at the circumcision. After traveling through the night on dangerous side roads in order to avoid attracting attention, they arrived at the home where the bris was to be held. The Rebbe immediately made the preparations for the bris and performed it without delay. After the bris, a problem arose when the bleeding could not be stopped. The baby began to turn blue, and everyone there was terror-stricken, fearing the worst for the baby and for themselves. The Rebbe realized that natural means would be of no help, and he closed his eyes and repeated the words that we say at the circumcision, Bedomayich Chayi, Bedomayich Chayi, with your blood you shall live. The Rebbe's face turned colors due to his intense concentration, when suddenly the bleeding stopped and the baby regained his natural color. When the Rebbe's chassid mentioned something about a miracle, the Rebbe simply replied, "We have a rule in the Torah, Shaluchei mitzvah einom nizokin. Those who are fulfilling a mitzvah will not be harmed." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos and a most joyous Purim.
As we close out our annual Gala Purim extravaganza, a couple of events happening in the community. Besides all the Megillah readings happening around, you can probably find them at Penskers and at PZ and at all the other shuls, Lubavitch Center and Shari Torah, and wherever you want to go, Kesser Torah, I'm sure you'll find a Megillah reading. Come out of Pittsburgh, though, is continuing its new series at the Jewish Learning Institute, The Kabbalah of Character. And that's 12:30 p.m. downtown and 7:30 at the Yeshiva Girls School each week on Wednesday. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And don't forget to call Lana on that one, 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you want to have your muscle subs on the program, you have to call us. We can't figure out who you are if you don't call us. 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperienceofverizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to our annual Gala Purim special. We all worked very hard to bring you something you'll never hear anywhere else, exclusive to the Jewish experience. Thanks to Leib Cohen for writing Agent Emmis Battles the Lo Tov Haman. And our cast, in order of appearance, Leib Cohen is narrator and messenger. Yours truly, Hirsch DeLynn, is Yaakov Epstein and Achashverosh. Amy Gooderson is Mrs. Epstein. Rachel McAllister is Bela Esther. Sholem Bear Cohen is Shimmy and is the awesome Agent Emmis Mordechai. Jorge Aronovich is the evil Dr. Lo Tov Haman. And a new entry, David Scott is Clarence. We all worked very hard to bring you some Purim cheer, and we sincerely hope that we brightened your Shabbos and Purim. Please drop me an email. Let me know if you enjoyed this special Purim program. Finally, as always, I want to be sure to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, on the keyboards, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and our engineer, Jeremiah LeBossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time is no later than 5:54 p.m., it's been a lot of fun. I'm not only done, I'm getting ready to roll into Shabbos and up into Purim. Till next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat and a Freilichen Purim.